FundRef is something relatively new. It is a pilot, but it's actually being implemented in the production system fairly quickly. So the pilotness, if you will, of the project is just that there's a smallish group of people participating. But the fact that it's in the production system means anyone could really start to deposit FundRef information at any time. So FundRef, there's going to be a lengthy discussion about FundRef tomorrow. So the history and all that will take place then. I'm not going to really go through any of that right now. What we're going to do here is I'm going to just give some technical details about FundRef, and then Lyndon Holmes is going to give you some views of what it looks like on a manuscript processing system. And then I have some pictures of other manuscript tracking systems, so you can get a flavor for what this really means in real life. So going under the covers and looking at the cross-ref aspect of FundRef, basically there's two steps. You will deposit funding information, preferably doing it as part of a cross-mark deposit, and then you will query for articles based on funding. And who will query based on articles of funding is still open for discussion, but primarily it will be the funders querying to find out what articles are the product of their funding. That's really where this began. So the funding information that you will deposit has three parts to it. The funder's name, that's pretty much required. You need to provide the funder's name. Each funder has an identifier, and that's optional in the deposit. And then the funding also has an identifier. This is commonly called the grant number or something such like that. So we have funders and funding to talk about. So in the funder's name and identifier area, there is a list of funders being provided to the pilot by Elsevier. And we are currently discussing with Elsevier and the FundRef pilot work group how to go about the maintenance and ongoing distribution of this list of names. And there is a FundRef registry that is taking shape, but there's not anything definitive to say about that at the moment. But anyhow, there is a list of names, and these names look like this in the Elsevier record. This is significantly more complicated than most people need to know about. There's just two pieces that really are important, and that is there's an identifier, which is a URI, and there's the name of the organization. Names of organizations, funders, there is a hierarchy. There can be a hierarchy of funding names. So, for example, NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, may be a top-level organization which has departments. If you wanted to search on what funding NASA supported, you'd end up being able to query on NASA. Or you could query on one of the smaller departments underneath their umbrella. So when you are depositing your cross-ref data, that FundRef data, you have a choice, rather to put it in as part of cross-mark or to have it separate. If you are participating in cross-mark, you would naturally want to put it in your cross-mark deposit, because then it's going to be visible in the cross-mark dialogues that Rachel just demonstrated to you. And so in the schema, you make a choice. You have to do one or the other. And then the funding information, the FundRef information, is then constructed as XML, like everything else is, in a deposit, and it looks something like this. It's fairly simple, fairly straightforward. The vocabulary is quite relaxed, but essentially all you're doing is saying these funders provided this funding for this article. And an article can have multiple funders, and it can have multiple sources of funding, multiple grants. So the combination is pretty much open to whatever you can come up with, or whatever is the case, as it may be. So you deposited your XML, and this is an example of depositing FundRIF information not in a crossmark. It's the exact same information, exact same structure. It just doesn't fall underneath the crossmark tag set. This is an example of a crossmark based FundRef deposit. So this funding information will then be available for display. And didn't you have a slide showing a FundRef? Is that going to come up today?
It already did.
I'm sorry. I must have stepped out. So you did already saw how this could look in a cross-mark display. The second step will be to query for FundRef articles. Right now, we have a very primitive back-end performing the search. It is not robust by any means. It's basically been put in place to allow us to see what is in the system in a very crude way. But in effect, the API is going to look like this. It's just a simple URL get. You'll supply a username and password or an email identifier. This doesn't require any account. This is free. Crossref has the concept of Crossref user accounts. They're just your email address. And all you have to do is register your email address, and you can query Crossref. And so in this case, you'll be able to use the FundRef API and simply provide your email address as your ID, and then the funding identifier or the funder name or the funder identifier, and a little bit of combinatorial logic there on those terms, and a retrieval list of what articles were funded by this source. So there's an example of a request that might be made. And here I'm asking for everything funded by the U.S. Department of Energy. Well, when I made this request, it returned 39 articles, which happens to be just about all we have for FundRef information at this point in time. But it became immediately obvious to me that these could become very large responses. And so we got to think a little bit more about the return format. This, what I'm showing you, gives you all of the metadata associated with all of the articles, all 39. Here, that's not that large, but if this were 1,000 or 10,000, as could be the case with the Department of Energy, we really can't give you back all of the metadata. We'll probably have to do just a list of DOIs, which is still going to be a big response, but you'll need to take the list of DOIs and then find metadata for each one of them. Or we could use one of the OAI mechanisms that can block respond to the requests in a series format. But essentially, this is the gist of the FundRef program from the CrossRef point of view. What we have left to do is to really implement a robust search mechanism. And this isn't rocket science. We just got to settle on the technology that we're going to use and how we're going to go about it. The data that's been deposited right now is u.s.space Department of Energy, and that query actually worked. But if I queried on U.S. without the punctuation, that would fail because it's just a stupid, simple string compare. So this modification will happen very shortly, and we'll decide what we need to do with searching on grant numbers and so forth, because there may be something a little bit more complex than a string compare on those as well. And so that will be happening probably around the first of the year. So as I mentioned, this is another puzzle that we're just contemplating at the moment, and that is, do we get back full XML, or do we get back just a simple list of DOIs? This is actually something that some feedback would be very helpful on. In the end, we may just do both and then make you pick. Just makes the query a little bit more complicated. So in terms of help and other information about FundDraft, it's all in the help documentation. Patricia has got it already done. And so if you go to the help pages and help.crossref.org, hash FundDraft or hash FundDraft API, everything that we know to date is in the help documentation already, and this will be kept up to date very quickly. So at this point, I think I'll have Lyndon come on, and then I'll switch back to